Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Come down Friday, they have an all new music happy hour going on. They've got a live vinyl spinning of all new music. You can come down and pick up the brand new Foo Fighters EP, Rah Rah Riot, Yacht, Wolf Mother, Thundercat, Animal Collective, and Lake Street Drive. So if you want to grab one of those, come down and get yourself a copy. They always have their local music selection there. Tons of great CDs, vinyl, and tape from your favorite locals. And always live in-store performances on Saturdays. So to see more information about those and everything else, you can go to their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hello, this is Dave Chapman, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, hanging out with Dave Chapman of Sky Burnt White, Krabby Travy, and the Blue Electric. Of the Good Time Engineers, and special guest co-host this evening, Mr. Stephen Woolley.
Cha-cha-cha-cha.
Welcome back to the show, man, for Woolley. This is his third appearance.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you can go check out his last two episodes after this. I've been following Skyburn White a bunch and all this stuff, and we've done two episodes with Mario and Gabe, but you were working man, and I was like, it'd be cool to sit down and talk to you and get to your, talk about some of the other projects you're a part of also, and so here we are, man.
I'm honored. Thank you so much.
We tried doing this the other night.
Yeah.
We were over at Nick's Pub hanging
Take
out.
Two.
Yeah. So we had technical difficulties. This is a little bit on my end. Apparently my computer decided to update and we lost everything. So I'm hoping this one goes much better. But we felt it was a sign by the podcast gods that it was getting too loud in Nick's Pub anyway, and we probably wouldn't have been able to hear anything. But I think this one, we're hanging out at Woolley's house, so this would be a little bit of a better recording atmosphere, I think.
Yeah.
Nobody's playing darts in the background.
Nobody's playing darts in the background.
No
one looking to use a table.
Yeah, no.
Excuse me, sir. Sir.
Yeah.
Can we have your table, please, sir?
That girl was, she says something about what not liking sausage in her gravy or something. I was like, where did all
that come from? Oh, no. I introduce, for those, I go way back with Dave.
Yeah.
And we used to call, I still call him Gravy from time to time. But we're adults now, so it's Dave or Mr. Chapman. And, but Gravy over here, she comes over and act like I thought she was interested in the podcast. And so introduce myself, introduce Gravy, and she's like, I don't like gravy with sausage in it. There's something I don't even know. Well, it's okay if it's on biscuits. And I'm just like, okay, that's perfect. So are you interested in the podcast?
Yeah.
And introduce Shane and everything like that. And she just, all she wanted was, I'm just wondering when you're going to be done with this table.
Yeah.
Because see this big purse? I'm going to put this big purse right here on this table. So
That was insane.
And scene.
Yeah,
yes.
that was exactly verbatim how that night went down.
Yeah, and it only would have went better from there. So.
Yeah. So where's Gravy come from? What's where did all this?
Just wild days back in the day. My buddy Dave Roller gave me that nickname, and it just kind of caught on like wildfire. Everybody called me that for years and years and years.
Yeah. I talked to City of Parks a little while ago. And I was telling them, I don't know, we kind of got on the subject of nicknames, and I was telling them I never really, I got Big Shane. I was like, oh, yeah, that's, pretty creative there with that nickname. And so anyway, when I was talking to City of Parks, Blake had a whole list he made up of all sorts of new nicknames for me to try out and stuff. He was, And it was pretty funny, but yeah, nothing's quite stuck. It's still just Big Shane, so but it works.
Spanky.
Yeah.
You're like, God, no.
Who's your favorite little rascal?
Spanky. Sitter. Anyway.
So, Dave, let's talk about you, man. We've talked a little bit about it, so some of you how did you get into your bass playing and stuff?
Originally I played in band and played the trombone, and then my music teacher asked me if I would play play in the jazz band and play the bass. It's the same music, and I switched right to it and picked it up real quick. I mean, I already knew how to read the music. I just had to figure it out on the fretboard, and went from there and learned how to play a whole bunch of jazz songs. And the Swoffords, Paul and Elaine, really, you know, showed me how to love it and showed me what it was about, you know.
Yeah. What, so you're playing the school band and playing jazz stuff, but is it always been that love of rock in there? Because, I mean, like, most of the stuff you're playing out today is, you know, pretty rock-oriented, or with some different influences in there, but, you know, a rock base to some of it.
It seems that, like, I play better to Southern rock and roll. I kind of have a niche for that, you know. It's always easier to hear those bass lines. Somebody starts playing a Southern rock, you know, good hometown song, you know.
Yeah.
Country feel, whatever. I can always come up with a quick bass line for that stuff. Sure. So.
What do you got here? Was a Fender?
Yeah, I got a 96 American Fender Jazz. Yeah. It's my baby.
Nice, man. Yeah, it looks good. What, so do you play, I kind of set it off mic there, but I was listening to Stern Show on the way down, and he had Melissa Etheridge on. I was talking to her, and he was talking to her bass player, and he was, like, asking him about his bass guitar that he had, and he, you know, he's like, it was, I think he had a 5-string he was playing for that particular, he's like, so what do you know, he's like, oh, I got 4, 5, 6, 7, he's like, you know, a lot of different basses, but do you have a preference to what you play, or is always 4-string, or?
Yeah, I used to play 6-string back in the day, but the notes were, it's kind of high frequency, kind of gets lost in the mix. You got to buy like a $4,000 one if you're really going to play it, and also it I don't know, a 4-string bass just finishes a band out. It really does. Like, you get the perfect lows in there, and it all mixes with the drums real nice, and I just really like the 4-strings better.
Yeah. Do you like, I guess it probably all varies in song, but do you prefer pick or slap, or?
I love to just do the finger style. I like do a little bit of slap and pop, but I use a pick when I have to, when I'm forced to. I've grown up enough to realize that I can't play every song with my fingers. Sometimes there's a string click in there, you know, and in certain songs it'll click out of the rhythm of the song, but you're playing the note in the right spot. So in those times I have to use a pick, you know, about half the songs in Sky Burnt White, about half the songs in Krabby Trab. Good Time Engineers, I did it all with my fingers, though.
Yeah.
But I probably should have used a pick through my stuff, to say the truth.
I just imagine, like, playing bass now after ever since, like, Paul Rudd, whatever the
I Love You Man.
Yeah, I Love You Man. I was trying to remember which one it was, but it were Schleppin' Bassman. Like, so I imagine, like, I'm sure, like, everybody says that now, right? Like,
oh, yeah, I hear that. I hear that quite a bit.
It's kind of one of those things. I mean, I'm sure everybody's got that, you know, whatever it is, but, like, where. I think we kind of talked about it with Wooly, how, like,
Booty.
Yeah. Yeah. But, what was, Eli's, or something? What's,
my God. My precious, precious sweet aunt. I love her to death.
Yeah.
She, Eli's Coming.
Yeah.
Which is a Three Dog Night song. And it's just, I can't do anything to make that song sound good. I tell her that every time she requests it, every time she comes to a show, play Eli's Coming, and I was like, it's a horrible song. It's just not even good.
Yeah.
It's about this guy, basically, the gist of the song is a guy that basically lock your daughters up because this womanizing guy named Eli is coming to town. That's basically it. Lock your daughters up so Eli doesn't get them.
Yeah. But I just think, I mean, you know, Freebird or whatever. I've been sure
Freebird. Oh my
I'm
God!
Sure everybody's got these things like they, you know, people say it to them all the time, and they think it's hilarious or what, you know. And it's like, yeah, well, yeah, first person I've ever heard of that from, you know. Like, but I don't know. It just makes me laugh. I don't know. Just the different little things,
catchphrases. That, yeah, the right. Catchphrases. Sure. Pop culture catchphrases that just irk us to no end.
Right.
There's obviously everyone wants to hear particular bass lines. Hey, man, can you play whatever famous bass line? Mm-hmm. Can you play the theme to Barney Miller? Can you play... You know, and who was that? Saturday Night Live made fun of that once with Tito Jackson, with Tracy Morgan, and it was Tito Jackson's I Gotta Eat Too, and he was just Tito Jackson playing famous bass lines, and it was like theme to Barney Miller, or, you know, different, you know, just whatever, but yeah, there's, you know, people come up, can you play Stairway to Heaven? Can you do this? Can you play... Suck My Kiss, can you play, you know, a lot of times it's a Flea song, or, you know, or Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, some Flea
bass line. Aeroplane. Everybody Aeroplane. Wants to hear Aeroplane. Yeah.
Yep. It is a good one. Oh.
Yes.
So.
Now I don't hear it.
Yeah, there we go.
That's all you get.
That's a wagon wheel. Wagon wheel. Can you play Wagon Wheel? That's a good song.
Yeah. So I don't know why, you know, it is a good song, but it got so...
Well, there's great songs. You know, I have nothing, there's nothing wrong with the song. The song is a great song. It's a catchy tune. It's a popular tune. So is Brown Eyed Girl.
Yeah.
So is Sweet Caroline. I don't play them. You couldn't come up to me with $100 bill and have me play you Brown Eyed Girl. I'll tell you to go sit back down. You know, it's just like, I don't know, it's just not that we're above it, or it's not a music snobby, it's just, everyone plays it.
Right.
Everyone plays those songs. If you're a bass player, you know, especially if you have a bass player that's, that's one of the other deals, is like, if you have an exceptional guitar player, there's a lot of bands, they'll either... And they will showcase a singer, they will showcase a guitarist, they'll showcase a drummer, they'll showcase a bass player, they'll showcase whatever they're showcasing, but they've never, like, I never see a band showcase a band, you know what I'm saying? So especially, you can always tell if they're leaning on the bass player, that bass player is doing all those, you know, those popular bass riffs, or the drummer, or this side or the other, you know, it's, I don't know, Wipeout, or, you know. Or whatever guitar riff, or they're singing Led Zeppelin. So it's funny that I've seen, you know, it's great to see Dave in these projects now, where he is, you know, Dave, in my opinion, is one of the most talented bass players in St. Louis area. And I'll even go farther than that, say Franklin County.
Woo!
And
Hit a home run.
But I love the fact that he's in these projects where he's actually it's not just a showcase of bass, this, that, or the other. He's a combination that, you know, there, it's you know, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. Crucible? Is that what I'm melting pot, where they're all, everything's just kind of, you know, commingling, and you know, everything's just kind of the pockets there, and everything's working together.
Definitely.
There's no this over here, this over there. Everything's just a, you know, great, you know, they're great projects.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that musicians like me, you know, we dream to have. You know, those are great projects to have, where you're up on stage, and the best thing, like, I've had Dave play with me before. We did, you played my 1,000th anniversary type, or 1,000th show performance. We was at the Dubliner, God rest its soul. And it was a packed house, and it was just a fantastic, but it's one of those, whenever you're sitting up there, and when you're trying to impress the guy standing on stage next to you, you know, I'm like, people don't realize when we're up there, we're like, hey, check this out. You know, we play something.
It all comes back to being a selfish nerd at the end.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, but we're like, no, but that's how we have fun. People are like, you guys are just up there smiling, having a great time. It's like, because we are. We're having a great time. It's a great friendship. You know, we're sitting there, and we're, whenever you take, you know, like I said, a musician of Dave's caliber, and you're sitting up there, and you're just like, and I can hear him over there, you know, out of my right ear, and I'm just like, yeah, and that's, you know, and him and Demaryius Hicks was playing with us, and just that pocket, and you know, and you just hear that groove.
I smiled for a week after that show.
It was
everybody there danced. Everyone was getting into it. It was like we touched people. You know, it was a good
one. Yeah, it was like church. It was it was sort of. You know, maybe that's a little sacrilegious.
Well, the saxophone player dancing, taking selfies with. Down there in the crowd playing horn and taking selfies. That was amazing.
It was the middle of winter, and the body heat, there were so many people in the body heat, they had to turn the AC on and open the front doors because it was 80 degrees in there at least, you know, just from all the body heat and everybody dancing and everything, which is a good time. And like I said, those are the moments that we look for, and those, like I said, I'm glad that he's, like I said, I'm proud of the projects that he's, you know, be a part of and the things that he's doing right now. That's why I wanted to be on the show. Like I said, I meet him go way back, and like I said, appreciate our fellow musicians that we were all friends with. I mean, I could name a list of them. If we go down your podcast list, there's 7 degrees of separation between all of us somewhere around there. Sure. So.
Let's talk about some of these. So was Good Time Engineers, was that like your initial success in the scene and stuff? Like,
yeah, that was my first real successful band. I've done a lot of stuff, but you know, 150 people, whatnot. Good Time Engineers, we were playing 4 hours at the end, playing out 2-3 nights a week, making $500, $600 a night, and it was all originals. 4 hours of originals. That's a feat in its own.
Yeah. I mean,
a lot of people can write, 10, 15 songs. You know, we wrote 80, 90 songs in 5 years, and we only used 50 of them. The other 30 didn't make the cut. I've never seen so much songwriting. Adam Barr and Travis Hill are two of the best songwriters I've ever encountered. Travis is amazing, man. Adam's amazing. Adam can play bass, keyboard, guitar, drums, sing. Travis, same way. Travis played drums, guitar, bass, harp, and sing. I've been fortunate to play with all these guys. And Vince was like this super good singer, really good at hearing weird, odd harmonies. I know the GTE's been, you know, we've had a practice, and Travis was trying to get some of Vince's harmonies, and he was having a hard time grabbing them because he put his notes in a weird spot, but it worked. It was an actual chord. But yeah, that band was my baby. About 50% of the riffs and music was mine, and that band was just the party band.
Yeah.
It was set up to rock the house out and have people dancing for 4 hours. I think it was. It was the best thing I had ever done.
Yeah.
To that point, anyway.
Right. Yeah, man. I've heard a lot of stories from, you know, like Willie's kind of saying the 7 degrees of separation stuff. I hear stories throughout the scene from guys like, I remember even Gabe Stroop of of Skyburn White now. He was telling me whenever you joined the band there that like. How excited he was to play with you and stuff, because he had was a big fan of Good Time Engineers and things. So I was kind of like, I regret not being able to see that when you guys were at your peak and everything. But you're shooting for some kind of reunion show, right?
Yeah, we're gonna have a reunion show in October this year. Vince, he's staying up in Montana right now. He's gonna come down, and he's got a wedding that weekend also, but he's gonna set in, and we're gonna have a reunion show up in town. I haven't set the date up for sure, but it's gonna be in October, and I'm sure it's gonna be people waiting outside trying to get in because the house is full.
Oh yeah,
most likely it's gonna be like Steve Woolley's playing in town.
do you have a particular venue or
most likely Blondie's? It's our local town bar. We got Blondie's and Caddyshack, but Blondie's is she's already took care of Skyburnt White and stuff. I feel like I kind of owe it to her, you know.
Yeah, that was she hosted the release party over there.
Yes,
and it was a good time. I was interested to see how it was going to work out in a, you know, in a bar setting and not a, you know, necessarily a venue, but it went real well. That was for the Exit Strategies album. So if you don't have that, go get yourself a copy. Available at skyburntwhite.bandcamp.com.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's a great album, man. Good Time Engineers kind of disbands, and then you start, what was next, Krabby Travy?
Yeah, me and Travis, like, went right back to work. Travis started playing guitar, and he's turned into quite the good guitar player. Like, he's got that rhythm of a drummer, but he does it on guitar. It's like Steve, just, you know, just right there in the pocket. Unbelievable. It's wonderful to have musicians like that to lean on.
I was listening to Lithium on my satellite radio, and they were talking about I think it was Matt Pinfield or something, was a guest DJ thing right going on then, and he was saying something about like Chris Cornell and like Black Hole Sun and all that, and he was like how Chris used to even play a lot of drums and stuff, and I was like I didn't know Chris played drums, but that's what he was saying, and like but you know, just like guys like that, you look at like a, for me, Chris Cornell is one of the greatest rock vocalists, you know, and like for him to have that voice to play guitar, play drums, or even, you know, more currently too, is Dave Grohl, you know, like he's made it with Nirvana being the drummer, now he plays guitar and sings in Foo Fighters, and it's just kind of crazy, these guys that have that, you know, very multi-talented in various aspects, but to be able to pull it off and like you know, at that level and stuff, like, is just blows my mind, because I can't even, you know, do any of it, so like to see a guy that does that with such ease and all that, like, it's pretty impressive.
Absolutely, he's a madman.
Yeah, just so what we got going on there for with Krabby Travy? Where are we at with that?
Basically, we just switched drummers. We got Jake Reed from Skyburnt White. I got him to play drums with us, and it immediately got really good, really quick. It's everything's getting solid. We got 12, 13 songs, a little over an hour to play, and I love it. It's very organic, and it's singer-songwriter stuff, but it's got the Good Time Engineers rock and jive in it. You know, it's dance. This band will make you dance from the first song to the last song, or you can dance to it, I should say. But I'm so impressed. It actually gets to, like, show off Travis. Travis has always been behind the drums, and he's such an amazing drummer that you got to look at him. You got to watch him. But as for him setting back, playing the guitar, and he plays a harp, and when he plays that harp and that guitar, oh my gosh, I just can't say enough about this guy. He can pretty much do anything, and his context and his words and vocals, everything has a story. It's all not always a positive story, but it takes you somewhere. His songwriting takes you somewhere, and I hope everyone sees that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a show
coming
up with Skyburnt White. I get to play a doubleheader, the 26th at America's Tavern, off Grove. We also are playing with the Faded Truth. They're excellent. I'm so stoked to play this show. I love playing bands back-to-back. There's just something about getting to play the whole night. It was always my dream to be the house bass player. You know, like, what do you got? All right, let's go, you know. But, yeah, it's...
So and that's you will also be recording parts of the music video.
Yeah, for Smoke.
For Smoke with Skyburnt White that evening. That'd be cool. I'm excited about that, and I'll be hosting the show that evening. I'm not sure what all that's going to include, but I'm happy. I'm up for the challenge.
You do. We got to make you part of everything we can.
I'm excited about it.
You do so much for everyone.
Oh, well, I have a good time doing it, man.
Busiest man in St. Louis.
Yeah, that very well could be. I I've been doing a lot, like, working-wise, and then I'm trying to do these, like, 3 days a week is, it's quite the feat, man, but it's, you know, I don't really consider this work, man, it's fun to get to hang with buddies and talk music, and I'm having a real good time doing it, so.
And speaking of working, man, we got Steve Woolley over here.
Yeah.
All he does is work.
I try. It's, you know, it's really honesty, the work, I say I work, it really is a job, people don't, I've been working for years on like a documentary, like a mini documentary type thing on the behind the scenes, with working musicians, and it's rough. I'm not looking for pity or anything like that, but it is. It's a job, and you get exactly out of it what you put into it, and that's just all there is to it. And so whenever you see these guys that are like, well, how come they're playing, you know, I don't understand it. How come they're playing, you know, five nights a week and this, that, and the other? It's because they're out there hustling, and they're working their asses off.
Right.
You know, we got way too many, I don't know, this whole... Nothing against it, this whole American Idol society thing that we've got going on, it's a popularity contest, you know, I don't care, you know, if you can sing half mediocre and got a pretty face, you know, let's put them up on stage, and it's not about that at all, it's about getting together and, like, actually writing music and learning your craft and, you know, doing, like, you know, I'm not the same, you know, me and Dave started playing, it's been, 20 years now.
Pretty close to it.
Almost 20 years ago, when me and Dave started, we were not the same musicians that we were back then, and we thought we were really doing something.
Yeah.
We were going to take the, you know, we were going to take the world by storm back then, and then now, you know, It's completely, you know, we turn it on its ear. I mean, you know, we're mature now. We know how things work in the business, booking, as far as booking and practicing and maintaining a life, and finding that balance, but still keeping our sanity with
music is sanity, though.
Yeah, basically, you know, that people ask me, I always get the. I may have said this before, but every time people ask me, so what do? I play music. I'm a musician. I'm working. No, but what's your day job? I'm a working musician.
Right.
Oh. And they give you like this, well, I'm, you know, like they're sorry for you. Like, well, you know what? That's great. That you know, I wish I could do what I love. I'm like, why don't you? If you could do what you love to do for a living, go do it.
Right.
And there's really no, they look like, they almost like, they feel sorry for you. I'm not homeless, obviously. I haven't missed any meals. That's for dang sure. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, man.
And, but they give you this like, oh, well, you know what? Well, good for you. Good for you. And I'm like, you don't understand. I get to go play music because I've been doing this since I was 5 years old. That's all I've ever wanted to do was play music, and I have honed myself and I've worked myself up and I've gotten to a place. This just didn't happen. No one handed this to me. No one, you know, I have had help along the way. Thank God for, you know, particular people in the music industry here in St. Louis. Thank you so much, Steve Ewing. It was a big help for me. When coming onto the music scene, he didn't do anything that other than help me open doors. I did the rest of the work myself. You know, if you can't, you know, if you can't hold your own, you don't work.
Sure.
And that's what I said. That's why. 15 years later, almost 20 years later. That's why Dave's still working.
Yeah.
That's why he's still involved in these projects, you know, and things like that. You have these guys that come up, you know, and they have a, you know, bad run on things, and they throw up their hands and they, you know, they walk off.
Right.
Well, they weren't meant to do it. And it's the same thing with anything else, you know. You know, playing sports or, you know, academics, you know, things like that. We have to put just as much time in it as what anyone else has to. And, I mean, literally, how many times you played to... I know this is very cliche, very Bryan Adams, but how many times do you play to your fingers bled?
Quite a few times.
Quite a few times. Same here.
I've played with an exploded finger.
I know.
Yes,
we did
Steve Ewing.
Yeah, me. It was me, Steve Ewing. We played... it was a big show. It was a huge show. Good Time Engineers, and there was a couple other bands there.
Third Curve.
Casting Stones. So it was a great lineup. It was a huge lineup for the night. It was tons of people there. Dave's unloading this gigantic bass cab out of the back of the van.
I dropped it on my finger.
It exploded. And I mean, at the end of his, like I said, we use the expression, if you take a grape and put it in between your thumb and forefinger and squeeze it and it pops, that's exactly what happened at the end of his finger. And the dude still rocked out, I mean, blood everywhere, still rocked out, played an awesome show. I don't know how he did it.
Adrenaline. It's all adrenaline.
It had to be, yeah, adrenaline and Jack Daniels.
And knowing that I'm opening up for Ewing, that was like, it had to go down.
Yeah, and like I said, that was one of those great, you know, it was a great night.
Yeah, you like played in between each band, DJ'd, and played with Steve Ewing.
Yeah, working man. So yeah, that was the, but yeah, no, it was great. I mean, but those are the types of things, you know. But that's what makes those things. And you know what? And every single one of us came together collectively, all these different bands, and how many, you know. We brought all our fans out, and we introduced our fans to Good Time Engineers. We introduced our fans to Casting Stones, Third Curve, vice versa, and it was just a great collaboration. It was very different. Because
there was so many people that show, it was wall to wall people.
Yeah. There was over 600 people there, I would say, if not more. I did say that was the show. That was the same show I talked about the One Love.
Oh, yeah.
Same show. Yeah. Me and Steve Ewing are singing One Love. And these three girls just start attacking this other girl in front of the stand. They're just beating the brakes off of her. And, yeah.
Bob Marley would be so upset.
He would be. And I'm just like,
he would have stopped the show right then.
We didn't. I'm sitting here and I'm like, and
you were in Franklin County. You let that stuff roll in Franklin
County. Yeah. I mean, and it was. It was, you know, and it ended up working itself out. Eventually, after they stomped that girl, poor girl. Anyway, but those are great. Like I said, that's why we do this. If anybody, why do you do what you do? This is exactly why we do this. And like I said, and we have a support system. And, like, you know, growing up, we used to have so childish. Like, we'd have, again, I've talked about the Battle of the Bands. You know, these bands would battle, and I hate Battle of the Bands. Bands shouldn't battle. They should come together. And like I said, with that show that we did, that was why it was such a success. Is because we all came together as a collective, as a collective group, as a community, as a music community. And that's what made that show a success. That was it.
Absolutely.
And that's the only thing that's going to make the St. Louis music scene, which, in all honesty, and I know the people that say that the St. Louis music scene suck are the same people that go around and say, I don't like this band, I don't like this band, I don't like you, I don't like them. Those are the ones that set the precedent for the reason why the St. Louis music scene. I play over 200 shows a year. 80% of them are in St. Louis, so must not be doing too bad.
Right.
The St. Louis music scene must not be so horrible that, you know, that a guy with an acoustic guitar can go out and, you know, make a living.
Well, with the whole We Are United thing, it's getting better in the city.
Right.
It for real is. I have 10 years ago playing at Pops, there would be 10 bands there, and there would be a group for each 10 bands, and nobody talked to no one. Now it's like a big party, and everyone is going up in front, and I've seen so many changes over the years of, you know, playing all these concerts and.
Yeah, it's very exciting for me and for a lot of people.
You do a lot, and like I said, really, I don't mean to blow smoke, but you have really in a very short time, you've done a lot for, you know, even I don't think people don't realize the amount of time and effort that you put into this, and we appreciate it.
Because you do anytime, all the footwork for us.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of places I get now. We have venues that are seeing this, you know, they're seeing themselves on this podcast or on this list that's being put out every week, religiously put out every week. And not only so much that, if he misses somebody, he goes back and redoes the whole, you know, he redoes it. You know, he's like, oh yeah, sorry, boom, 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 he goes in, edits it. The whole thing is now these venues are seeing all these names are being consecutively playing. I've been contacted by venues I've never dealt with simply for the fact that they've seen my name included on, well, we have such and such play here and we saw your name on a list that they were on, and so, you know, we checked you out and would you like to come down and play a show? I'm like, yeah. So, I mean, it's all about, you know, people, you know, dropping the bucket, you know, pebble in the pond, whatever, the ripple goes, sure. You know. So, you know, we can't, you know, again, thank you.
Oh, well, no problem. I'm, like I said, I started doing that, the whole show, the list of events and all that stuff, it's all because I believe in the talent here, and these are my friends, and they deserve to be known. Like, I mean, there's not, you know, just because you're not hearing it on the radio doesn't mean it's not great music and stuff like that. So that's why I'm trying to make a difference with this, and it's, I feel like it, you know, between myself and Coco with We Are United, and just a lot of people are really making a difference. You know, people are sick of the way it's been and are trying to stand up and do something differently. And it's really cool to see things are starting to actually make an impact. You know, people more like went out to a local show last night, and four local bands all, you know, just hanging out, and it was a good crowd in there. And so it's just, and it was, you know, what, like 10 degrees last night. It was, and they still,
you got cold last night. I was like, I was not prepared for it.
Right.
I went to a gig, and by the time I got to the gig, when I left the house and got to the gig, I was like, it was at least a 30-degree temperature change. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, man.
But I want to hear Dave play.
Yeah, sure.
After you do, you got any more dates for us or anything like that?
Yeah, we haven't really talked much in depth yet about Skyburn White and some of the things they got going
on.
Yeah,
so.
Skyburn White's got a lot going on right now. We got the 26th America's Tavern show. We're going to do a smoke video shoot for the song Smoke. At least most of it there. I think they're going to like actual put in some actual acting in it and things of that nature. And then we got a show with April 9th at Pops with The Faded Truth. It's a We Are United show, I believe. Those are always awesome. I'm sure it's going to be a great turnout. The Pops shows usually go good. Also, on the 21st of this month, we are doing an interview with Cornbread on the local show. That is just, I'm ecstatic about that.
Yeah, man.
I'm so happy. These guys deserve a break. They've been working so hard. Jake, you know, Mario and Gabe, they're some of the most talented musicians I've ever had the privilege of. Jake is, the guy can do anything, and he's one of the most hardest working, you know, musicians that I've ever seen. He's just, every time you see him, he's setting up drums and PAs, and he just never stops. And then you got Mario, like, the guy can put a riff inside any riff. He just makes everybody sound good. I don't know how else to put it. He's that filler guy. The stuff that you would never think about putting in there, that's what he's got, you know. And then you got Gabe's songwriting extraordinaire, you know, like you give him an idea and he'll be like, all right, I'll see you guys next week. And then 2 hours later, he'll sing you the new song, bass, drums, guitar, and vocals on it, and be like, yeah, can you learn this by next practice, you know? I mean, he's a monster. Yeah. So those guys have so much talent. I'm so blessed to be in all these good bands. Also, we're going to work on a new EP this year with some new songs, some more stuff with me. The last CD, Exit Strategies, I was only on three songs, Song and Dance, When I'm Done and Happy. And it kind of irks me that I didn't get a play on them all, but, you know.
Yeah. It's I love that album, though. That's
It's terrific. Yeah. When I tried out for them or whatnot, and I put that album in, I listened to that album for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks straight and never got tired of it. I could not believe it. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, great record. I'm excited that's, you know, that's going well and that a lot of the opportunities are coming for Skyburn White because I do feel, you know, it's definitely well-deserved. You know, they've watching these guys pay their dues, putting in a lot of work, and you know, things are... And that's where we originally met, you know. Like, I remember you start seeing you play there and watching you just go to town on the bass and dancing around and your mohawk and all the fun stuff, man. It was just...
I eat glue.
it was a lot of fun to watch you play, man. I really enjoy it, so... But yeah, so we got a... quite busy coming up with all this, and then I don't know. I'm just excited. This is fun. We kind of talked, you know, the We Are United and the Pops thing, and I wanted to throw a thing out there too. They're gonna start doing these like Sundays hangout kind of local music, local musicians, networking, and kind of maybe gear swap kind of stuff, and like all kinds of. Just get people hanging out and talking and becoming part of the scene. And so they're going to do that. February 28th is the first one. It's going to be Sundays, afternoons. I think the last band's going to be over by 9. So because everybody's, you know, we know people got to work Monday morning and kind of thing. So, I'm excited to see how that goes. Get to meet some more people. I'm going to be out there on the 28th and I'm going to have my table set up trying to potentially book some new people on the show and... help do my part to shine a little light on St. Louis music, and so if you play or you're a fan or you want to get involved, come on out to Pops February 28th after what was the date on the video shoot? That's the
26th.
Yeah, so that's gonna be a good rock and roll weekend for me, man. Got a host and I got to go work the other show, so it'll be fun. You guys want to play something or what are we thinking?
Okay, bro.
Or you want to just put a track on from the record? We could do that if you want to do some.
I could try. Wino's got a big brown beaver.
Yeah,
you
man.
You gonna do my whoops for me?
I'll do your whoops for you.
All right.
Yeah. I love this song.
Occurred to her she might have a porcupine.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that brings back memories.
I used to do that at all the parties. It wouldn't matter how cold it was or how bad it was. I'd play that song and they'd all come to the stage.
Yeah.
Something to laugh at.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's a classic. Les Claypool, man. He's a talented guy. But yeah, that was, well, thanks so much for doing this. I appreciate you coming out again, and this one I think went much better than some girl talking about gravy and everything else that was going.
Can you play Hootie?
Yeah. But yeah.
All right. Good whoops in there.
Yeah. Thank you.
For sure. And I want to say I am so blessed to have Steve Woolley to help me out here with this. He is one of the most talented singer, musician, songwriter I've ever had the pleasure of working with, and I love your song selection when you guys play out. Like, you have the best songs, like booty shaking songs. Like you just it's set up so good. Your cover project, man, I can't wait for the Steve Woolley original CD with like 10 songs on it.
It's coming. It is, and like I said, we had talked about it the last time. Like, I was so anxious to get in and start recording that whenever I did it so prematurely that whenever I would go back and I would listen to the track, I'm like, you know what, I should change this. And so I would go back, and I kept changing stuff. And I realized that that's the downfall of every musician. But the problem was, like I said, I wanted to put something out so fast, so quickly, that I really didn't even have time to sit down and really really let the song mature and process it, you know, to get it to where I was at where I wanted it. And now I do. I have a really good selection of songs. Plus, you know, it's been a year later, and so it... For lack of better terms, if I would have put it out immediately, that whole album would... I should have just, like, been, like... Just labeled it Lover's Lament. I mean, just, you know... because, you know, there was some, you know... whatever had happened at the time and I was writing about... It just would have been, like, this is... These are songs that are so sad. They're upbeat and they're happy, but they're so... They're that's like, you know, I'm like, you want to hear a fast song or a slow song? And there's right. Like, everyone thinks, like, you're going to play a fast song. You're like, that was just as sad as the last song, but it was just up-tempo, you know? Like, how could you do that? But, so I didn't want to put something like that out there either, where it was just like, you know, what was that, songs about Jane. Basically, it would have been, you know, I didn't want to do anything like that. Yeah. So I'm working on it, and it's coming. Like I said, there's a lot of things have like, you know, like I said, slowed down and progressed. So like I said, you'll be hearing it. A matter of fact, whether he knows it or not, you will be hearing Dave Chapman being playing on the album as well. Like I said, you'll be hearing a lot of. I'm bringing in a lot of special guest artists. I've already talked to the guys at Clockwork. I think they're gonna be help me with a track as well. Steve Ewing's gonna help me with some stuff. So like I said, I'm gonna collaborate with a lot of some of these musicians that I've had the pleasure to work with. And so, ta-da!
Yeah. Close this out. Figured we'd do a couple fan questions that almost forgot to. I threw your picture up on Facebook, and I enjoy a little fan participation. And so here's a couple of questions for you. What is your favorite song? This is from Johan on here. What's your favorite song to play with Good Time Engineers?
Now I'm lost. It was the first song that me and Travis wrote together, like when we started Good Time Engineers. And it is Bass in Your Face, and it's one of the hardest, coolest, grooviest songs that I've ever wrote. So now I'm lost for sure.
Yeah. And Mario asked, where has his mohawk gone?
I got a new job, and I asked my boss, he's my buddy, I said, can I keep a mohawk? And he didn't answer me. So like 3 weeks go by, and you know, I'm changing jobs, and like 3 weeks go by, and I talk to him again. I say, so, like, you know, I play in a band. I have a mohawk every day, all day, for the rest of my life, if I can get away with it. And he didn't answer me again. So I should, you know, yeah. I have to work. Man's got to feed his kids and his family. But
yeah. So the hawk is frowned upon, huh?
Well, you know, they're afraid my hat's going to fall off and some woman's going to scream. And they want me to scare children.
I was going
to
say, I don't know if that would be your hat falling off would do that.
Yeah. Gabe asks, briefs or briefs?
It's tidy whities, nothing but tidy whities.
He also asked, how does it feel to make the guys in Skybrant White appear to know what they're doing live?
Oh, that's so full. That's baloney. Those guys, that's like the tightest band I've ever played with. They're unbelievable. Actually, I'm the one missing notes. I think that was a setup question right there. I'm the note misser in the band.
What else do we got on here? Oh, I thought this was interesting. Lacey asked, which bass player is your biggest influences on your style, and who are your favorite local bass players?
For sure, I want to play like Flea, and I mean, I love the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I love Primus, but Flea is number one for sure. And of my favorite local bass players, it's definitely the bass player from Greek Fire. And Jordan McAllister.
Yeah.
From Soundtrap, I think.
Yeah, Soundtrap, yeah.
He's an amazing bass player.
Yeah, Mark Roth, mm-hmm. Greek Fire. That guy, he's...
He has the best tone I've ever heard.
Very talented guy, yeah. Cool. Well, since tomorrow, we're recording this, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Jake, want to know, will you be his Valentine?
For sure be your Valentine. Don't tell my wife.
All right, well, that's it. Thanks so much for hanging out. And again, we got, let's get all these dates out there one more time. We got Skybrant White video shoot on the 26th at America's Tavern with The Faded Truth and
Krabby Trav and the Blue Electric.
Yeah, Dave will be doing double duty.
And then we got the 21st, the local show with Cornbread. And then April 9th, we got another show with Faded Truth at Pops. It's at a We Are United show.
Yeah. So put those in your phone and your calendar. Come out to a show. Bring your dancing shoes. We'll have a good time.
Let's get it on.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks,
Steven.
Thank you, brother. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.